With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing, woo!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing, limousine wreck, jet-flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Thursday afternoon. We're live at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. Michigan State trails the half to Bradley, 35-34, and Florida State, not pulling all the way away, but they're kind of pulling away against Vermont now. They've settled in 2 minutes to go in that game. People are putting out pictures of that kid's wide-open layup that he passed out for the three-pointer.
That is going to be one of the more memorable things, I think, of day one. When you pass up a what? That, if that doesn't define the state of basketball in 2019, that you pass up a wide-open layup
wide
to tie
open.
The game, to try and shoot a three to win it, that sums up everything you need to know about the basketball in 2019. Man.
In all honesty, are you ever surprised we don't have somebody die of a heart attack? I don't want to joke about this, but it's also kind of funny watching these coaches freak out.
And just losing their S.
How do they hold it? Most of these guys are overweight. You know they're not eating great. It's not like they're exercising every day, and they're sitting there screaming and jumping up and down. And
not a healthy lifestyle, to say the least.
It can't be a healthy lifestyle. I feel bad when Tinks is sweating through his shirt.
Right.
You know?
Just calm down, man. Drink some water. It's going to be all right. We'll get through this.
I just hope one day we don't see somebody fall to their knees. Like, Roy Williams had a moment like that this year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he had vertigo, I think, and he just collapsed basically on the sideline. Coach K, people joke about it because they say it's only when his team sucks, but he has, you know, he's had injuries and stuff, not to that level, but I think he's had back stuff, and he hasn't been able to sit on the bench for games. So we've seen minor injuries, but not that extreme.
Yeah. All right, we have a lot. Oh,
we're giving away cool prizes, man. It's another reason to come down to the Independent. Nike Hoop Summit tickets.
Thought somebody was coming up here and just chanting
yelling
something crazy.
Let me tell you about Florida State, okay?
That's not what it is. You got a chance to win a 4K Sony TV,
there,
man. Come on down. Hang out at the Independent. We're having a great time.
Yeah, we are having a great time. We have a lot to get to here in the second. Did you see the Yahoo report this morning that they uncovered that the Pac-12, who originally were looking for a $500 million investor, are actually looking for a $750 million investor.
That's my boy, Larry.
We've mentioned before how little the conference teams have received on the revenue. And this is what their plan is. If they get the $750 million investment, they're going to give $700 million of that. They're going to divvy that out 12 ways. Hey, you know all that money we promised that you didn't get? Well,
here it is.
There it is.
Well, look, it's a great way to shut people up in the short term and to make up for the areas that you royally screwed up in.
Yes.
And that was the Pac-12 network, the TV deals, and the estimations of where the revenue was going to grow over the last 7-8 years. And we know it. We've talked about it a million times. They're nowhere near where they wanted to be. And as we brought up multiple times on this show, who that really does hurt is the smaller programs. It's the programs who don't have a Phil Knight bankrolling everything that they're doing. They're the ones that rely on that extra $8 to $10 million, whether it be for facilities, whether it be for the recruiting budget, whether it be for upgrades to their stadium, whatever they want to use it for. They're the ones that need it. Oregon State, Washington State, programs like that desperately could use it. So, look, they're not going to get $750 million. Like, people scoffed at the notion of them
getting... You don't
getting,
think they will?
People scoffed at the notion of them getting $500 million. For what they were trying to sell it for and the percentage that they were going to give you in terms of an ownership stake in the conference, People didn't think they were going to be able to get it because the evaluation for, I think it was 10% or whatever for $500 million, the evaluation didn't make any sense because the conference isn't worth
There's
that
no
much.
There's no exposure
so,
either.
Yeah,
so
I mean, maybe if you just inked a new TV deal and you were going, you know, just renegotiated your Tier 1 media rights and you got the biggest contract out there in the country, then maybe we could talk. But $750 million is lofty. I don't think they're going to get it. I do think ultimately, though, this is an okay stopgap plan. There's nothing that they can do until the media deal's up. It's just that's the reality that we live in. We've told you that a million times. Until that contract runs up, whatever it is, 2021 or 22,
right,
whatever year it is, until they renegotiate, there's nothing that they can do financially to make this better for their institutions. So they're looking for ways to say, hey, okay, in the next 4 or 5 years, how can we help you out? And if you could sell 10% for, let's say, $400 or $500 million, and then you split that up amongst the institutions, That's a decent little cash influx for some of those programs.
Now, let me flip this on its head. What if they do get a company to say, okay, we'll take 12%, we'll give you $750.
Take it.
And then what if, let's go further, it actually ends up working really well? You know, like as much as we make fun of it, what if this plan ends up being smart in the long run, in the long term?
It could.
Now, we're laughing at it now because it's like, why would you give anybody that money, especially with that little of ownership? The exposure's terrible. You're not on DirecTV, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, I just imagining, like, what life is like if it does win. And in 5 years, we're like, remember when we laughed at Larry Scott and we made fun of him and everybody wrote articles about him? And then he got that investor and he saved it all.
Well, it's important to remember, too, that no matter how – if it does happen, no matter how we feel about it in the short term, that opinions can change.
It absolutely
because when they signed the TV deal, the one that we all bitch about now, and when they created the Pac-12 network the way that they did, without doing it independently, without a partner.
Yep.
Everybody unanimously sat here and said, "Wow, what a great TV deal, and what a great idea to do the network on your own, so you don't have to split revenues with ESPN or with Fox or with whoever it may be." So we could sit here now and say this is a terrible deal, this is a great deal. Time will tell. And it depends on where the rest of the conferences go. And I think really a fun conversation for me to have is what the landscape's going to look like when their Tier 1 deal is up. Because I think we've seen the market of television change so drastically over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, do they go Facebook? Do they go Amazon?
Right.
I mean,
are
we
just,
screw DirecTV. We don't need them. Everybody else is on those websites.
Right. And I think I brought this up before, but I've had conversations with people up in Seattle about their NHL team and where they go for a TV deal. Because of Root Sports and the Mariners, and it's kind of a unique situation. There's a lot of people that think because they start in 2 years that it's just going to be a streaming. You're going to have Amazon. And who? I mean, at this point, almost everybody has Amazon.
Right.
And you're going to stream the games just like that.
So and cable cutters, I mean, that's already been a conversation that's been thrown up there now for 2 years. It's just becoming more and more prevalent. I mean, you yourself, you've even contemplated the idea.
Yeah.
You're a dinosaur, and I feel like you're never going to do it, but...
But the more options you give me through streaming, the more there's no reason to have cable at that point.
Yeah, you don't want to be held hostage by these cable companies who are charging you $250 I should say, a month, and you get the same package for $105. Like, why would you do that? So, I find it interesting. I'm not going to laugh at them if they do end up deciding going, you know what? Facebook has given us this amount of money, and we're going to stream our games on Facebook or Amazon Prime or.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Netflix, Hulu, whoever it might be. We don't know what the market's going to look like in 4 years.
You cannot laugh about that notion because I'm telling you, there are so many more people now doing that versus going, well, they're not on my DirecTV. Well, guess what? A lot of people are dropping DirecTV and Comcast and whatnot for streaming packages. So it'll be interesting. But the latest report from Yahoo is that the Pac-12 is looking for a $750 million investor to give them some cash. Front load all the conference teams and then spend $50 million on the media rights because they're trying to have somebody kind of run and operate that as well. All right, we have a lot more to get to here at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. Coming up next, a question I had about the NCAA tournament and regular season success. Do they go hand in hand, etc.? And we got some NFL stuff to get to, baseball stuff just around the corner as well. Don't go anywhere. Thank you for being with us so far here on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Thursday afternoon. Duck game tomorrow at 1:30. Catch it here on The Fan. Pre-game coverage half hour before. We'll be done at 1 o'clock. So shout out to all the people that hate our show that will be able to listen to The Fan again at 1 o'clock.
That'll be a turn and burn one-hour show on a Friday, man. I'm sure we are going to be totally serious, totally engaged.
You know it.
Focused for all 60 minutes, start to finish.
Because we've been that way so far today, too. By the way, I am parked. So we're down here on Broadway. I am parked over on Morrison by the food cart situation.
Yeah.
I would venture to say that's a little past a quarter mile away one way.
Okay.
My meter runs up at 145.
Any homie want to come by and go fill up your meter for you?
I don't know if I want to ask anybody to do that. I feel like that's, I don't know, disrespectful in
a way. I did that last year because we were on the air. And all the parking around here, if you don't go into a garage, is about 2 hours.
It's tough.
So it's easy. If you're just hanging out, it's really easy to go feed the meter because you're just hanging out. You just got to go walk out and take a quick break. But when you're on the air, it's a little more difficult because you can't make it a quarter mile and feed the meter and then get back in time.
Well, I was going to say there might be a chance at crunch time that I'm late by a few minutes sprinting to go feed the meter.
We'll time your half-mile run in a commercial break.
Well, the thing is I'm hanging out heavy today after the show. I'm going to have to feed that meter twice.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll see if I can get there in time, but that is rapidly approaching. I wanted to dive into this. I saw this earlier from a few different people about the tournament and how much we love the tournament. It is a lot of fun. But people were, like, suggesting, why does this tournament diminish the regular season? Why don't we put more stock into what the regular season was and is? Point in case, Washington, who won the regular season in the Pac-12, didn't win the conference championship, and now everybody's just kind of counting them out, and they're basically going to get done against Utah State in some people's minds. And I thought about that for a minute. And then I also kind of thought, well, you're also knocking the tournament and how great it is and what that premise is. If I was to knock any process of March, I think it might be the conference tournaments. And what I would do, I'll give you a
lot of people don't like having automatic bids on the line.
Yeah, and this is
for getting hot for a weekend.
Right, and this is where I would go is, if I was to change anything about what this is, I would change it to the top six teams go to the conference tournament. And that's it. So your 10s, your 11s, your 12s, your 9s.
They don't even get an invite?
No, they ain't going.
Is this because Oregon finished 7th? Or no, they were 6th. So
no, they were
6th.
I think 6 is good because you're still getting the right amount of games, in my opinion. But, like, if you finish 9th, what have you done to earn a chance to play for an NCAA tournament? That tells me how terrible you were for most of the season.
Yeah, see, I don't really mind it because you don't really have a lot of examples of teams getting in and winning conference tournaments that shouldn't. Like, Oregon's unique this year because the Pac-12 sucked.
Well, but they were a game away from second.
They were
second
a game away
whatever.
From second, right? So, I mean, like, we can sit here and say, well, they were the first 6 seed. It wasn't a traditional 6 seed. It wasn't like they were 7 or 8 games behind where everybody else was. So I think Oregon's a unique example. Who won the other major conference tournaments? Villanova.
Yeah.
Michigan State. Duke. Right, I can't remember who won the SEC, but they're big time programs.
Auburn
won.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, and that's a team that was going to be a tournament team, whether they won it or not.
Sure.
So I think the fun part is you have the smaller conferences with something to play for, and people like Swigard get into it, and they want to watch, and they want to see who wins all these random conference tournaments for a chance to go. And I think that's a cool way to do it for them. To me, the system works just fine. We downplay the regular season for Washington a little bit because of the way they looked in two of their final 5 games. And I think there was a question of how much of this was them being good and how much of this was the conference not being good and them just feasting on inferior opponents. And we'll find out. If they blow out Utah State, they win that game by 10, 15 points, it doesn't diminish it. But also for Husky fan, you should still be excited about the regular season that you had. They haven't been in the tournament since 2011.
8 years?
It's been 8 years since they went. It's been a long time, man. That program got to a pretty low point when you had a number one overall pick and you couldn't win games in the Pac-12 and Markelle Fultz. They let Romar stick around too long. So don't let a bad conference tournament or a one-and-done in the NCAA tournament diminish what you accomplished throughout the course of the regular season. But I think the system is ultimately fine.
You think it's perfect? There's nothing you would change?
No. If you want to prop up the regular season more, like just in terms of excitement, I've said it before and I'll say it again, you got to get rid of the one-and-done rule. Like, you're just not – every one of these household names that are going to be created over the next couple of weeks in this tournament are likely going to be gone next year. and you're going to start all over with a new batch of five-star kids, a new batch of kids at Kentucky and Duke and Arizona and North Carolina.
Well, good thing is the one and done might be done in a year.
Which I think would help, but I still think you need a corresponding rule to make kids stay 2 years in college. That to me is the dream scenario. And then you're going to prop up the regular season, but there's nothing wrong with this format.
Yeah. By the way, my Michigan State pick, your Michigan State pick is looking foolish right now. Bradley just had a breakaway jam. And they're up 5.
Oh, there's 18 minutes left. Come on.
Michigan State is not looking good today, and this seems to be an obvious difficult matchup that none of us knew about.
This is the beauty of the tournament, though. This is why, for all the people that argue with me throughout the course of the college football season, how fun would this be in football? Now, look, Mike Leach's 64 bracket, never going to happen. We can acknowledge
right.
that.
Yeah.
But you're telling me you give me a 32-team bracket?
32, wow.
And you get that many games where you're playing? Imagine this being a Thursday in December, and we got, number 18 versus number whatever it would be.
Right.
We would love every second of that. It would be an awesome way to end the football season instead of having meaningless bowl games that nobody cares about.
Well, let me ask you one quick question, because I'm not opposed to having conference tournaments. But what's the point of them? Why do you play? How many games in a college season?
31.
Why do you play 31 games and then that? Nope, we haven't settled it.
It's
Let's
a big
go play a tournament.
It's a big. It was originally a big money grab from ESPN before every single game was on TV, especially for the smaller conferences who don't have any sort of TV contract.
And ESPN just, by the way, dove in and gave, $1 billion to the AAC?
Yeah.
Like a 15-year deal or whatever?
Yeah, it's a long-term deal, but, yeah, they're going in there. Originally, it was a big money grab. It was also a way for the smaller conferences to get a piece of the pie and get on national TV.
Okay.
And so the caveat to make it worth something was putting the conference's automatic bid up for it. And then it's just grown into a huge thing now. Some of the conferences like it because it gets them into a tournament setting before they get into the NCAA tournament. But it was originally just a money grab.
Yeah. So thus proving the point of, there's no real reason for it outside of a few bucks. By the way, no doubt Michigan State came back. They're up 3.
Yeah, they're going to be just fine, okay? Calm
50 down. 50 seconds after they were down 5.
Quit making me panic over here. No, I mean, look, you bring up a valid point, but is there anybody – I'm trying to think outside of St. Mary's and Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, and Oregon was even a debatable one if you asked Bill Walton because they were in no matter how they did in the conference tournament. Outside of those two, is there anybody else – that wouldn't, would not have made the tournament without a conference tournament appearance? Because it wasn't like ASU did much, and
I don't know all
in.
The mid-major winners, so that's hard for me to speak
well,
on.
Well, sure, but that's true.
The major ones, though,
the major conferences, right? Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, they were all likely going to be in. LSU.
Right. I would say no, but do we hang conference title banners for teams if they win the regular season or if they win the conference tournament? Because who's the
Pac-12 school.
Champion? Who's the Pac-12 champion this year?
Well,
it's Oregon. They won the conference tournament. It's the one that it's the last one we remember. They beat the team that was first in the conference. It's the lasting image. It's the one you want to raise. Now, Swigard is probably right. You have some schools that will go conference champions, regular season, whatever. Let's put it in the rafters. But largely, you're referenced as the conference champion when you win the tournament, not playing the 31 games and being the best team through the regular season.
All right, come on, puppies. If you can do it in the regular season, back it up in the tournament.
And there is that argument as well. There's no doubt about it. All right, we've got some baseball, some NFL to get to. We are locked and loaded the rest of the way.
Your Seminoles survive, by the way, officially.
Florida State is on, and they advance over Vermont. Michigan State is up, and Kansas is just underway. We're live out here at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. We're having a great time. It is packed. Come on down. Say hi. Hang out, get a drink, get a burger, get whatever, and make it a great Thursday. We're back with more.
Hey, welcome back in. 1:34. Hope your opening day of the NCAA tournament is going well. Dirt and Sprague live out here at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. Stop by, say hello. Isaac and Sue broadcasting live from here as soon as we are done. Big thanks again to our sponsors. Laurelwood Brewing, our big presenting sponsor. They got specials throughout the course of the tournament. They also got a sampling going on both today and tomorrow. So try out some of their cool stuff. Encore Audio Video. We're doing an on-site TV giveaway. So you got to come drop your name in the box and see if you can win a TV. And Warren Allen, attorneys at law at Nike Hoop Summit, and we're giving away tickets to the Nike Hoop Summit as well if you stop by and say hello. We're having a blast. A lot of people chiming in, by the way, at the Better You Today text line about your parking situation.
Yeah.
Saying that you need to use Parking Kitty.
I just downloaded that app.
Okay.
I opened it.
Have we figured it out?
No, it says a zone. I have to enter a zone.
Ah.
Where do you get the zone from?
Well, Sprague needs help for all you tech-savvy folks out there. Help him out because he doesn't want to run out to his car and pay the meter. Also, somebody said, just buy a listener a beer, and he'll go feed the meter for you. Another decent strategy. Lots to get to over the next hour and a half of the show. We haven't gotten into it yet, but I did want to take a moment to dive into what happened last night in the NBA. And that was, first, a great night for Portland. And it's funny because we could go back and pull the audio of us previewing the games going on last night and being wrong on every single one of them outside of that Blazer game.
Wait, which ones?
Houston.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, yeah, and the Spurs Heat game, you're right.
The Spurs and the Heat. There was one other one, too, I believe, that we were like, oh, that should be a win.
The Jazz beat the Knicks.
That's right, you're right. Utah won.
Can you imagine?
So as though too, yeah, because Houston lost in Memphis 126-125 in overtime, and somehow Miami went into San Antonio and beat the Spurs.
Could you imagine the amount of wear and tear on your body if you went out and you played as hard as James Harden did and dropped 57 and you lost? Like, what that feeling has got to be like. You lost to the Memphis Grizzlies and you dropped 57. You were amazing.
Had 7 rebounds, 8 assists.
But your team played like crap and you lost to a garbage team and you gave all that energy to it. That has got to be a terrible feeling.
Well, it ended up being a good night for Portland because that's like dream scenario. You get a win and everybody else around you besides for Utah lost because OKC lost at home to Toronto.
Yeah.
That game ended up – OKC, give them credit. They came back because I wasn't watching much of it. They were down big. They had a big fourth quarter comeback, sent it to overtime, and then they lost in OT at home to Toronto. But the point I wanted to bring up, and I am probably getting way over my skis on this, but I want to know if anybody else agrees with me.
So is anybody else getting way over their skis? Okay.
Has anybody else been really excited about the way Damian Lillard has played without CJ McCollum?
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Like
100% in with you.
I know it is a small sample size. We were talking 2 games against bad teams. I understand that. But last night, again, he had 33 points, 12 assists. When was the last time he had back-to-back games with 10 assists?
I would say 12 or more assists.
Right?
Maybe
has
never.
That ever happened? He
maybe
had 15 never. In the first game without him, which almost tied his career high. He had 12 assists last night. He grabbed 5 boards. He was efficient from the floor again. He did that, by the way. He had 33 points on 18 shots. Mm-hmm. Talk about efficiency. Look, maybe it's just way too overreactionary, but offensively it seems like there's great ball movement. He's had 12-plus assists in back-to-back games. I got to admit, I'm loving it.
Now, they did beat the Pacers, who they're a good defensive team, but let's not act like they're something great. They don't have Oladipo, and then they did just beat the Dallas Mavericks, right? So that's the instant, let me kill all of your excitement
sure.
response.
Sure.
However, with that being said, I don't know how you watch them with him and no CJ, and you don't see instantly how different he is. Now, he has taken it to a level that I think we knew he was capable of, but I think as long as you have a CJ McCollum, a general ball stopper, a guy who goes and gets his 20 points per night type of player, he's more willing to just concede to him and say, oh, this can be your spurt. You can go out there and do it. Whereas I think when he doesn't have CJ, it's constant movement, it's constant interaction, it's constant connection with the teammates. He puts in the effort defensively. He has gotten better on defense the last 2 seasons. Let's give him credit on that.
Yeah.
And I've loved what I've seen. Now, does that mean the every game CJ doesn't play, he's going to go give you 30 and 12? No, it doesn't. But what I have noticed is the style of play is different, and it's different in a good way. And I almost take myself too far game to game in the NBA with opinions. And I don't even share 85% of them. But now that you're bringing this up.
We're in the trust tree. It's okay. Let it out.
I was tweeting with somebody that I kind of know, and they did, what would you do? CJ for Kuzma, which why would the Lakers do that? They wouldn't.
No, but
and
yes,
go
I
sign
would.
A Danny Green.
Yeah.
100% I would be doing that. And I'll tell you this. If CJ doesn't play the rest of the regular season and they do finish, I think they're going to go 9-3.
Well, Houston losing the last night too. They're still alive for the 3 seed.
Well, even if they finish 9-3, 10-2, something just incredible, and go into the playoffs red hot, and then play better. How, if you're Neil, you don't watch that and you don't go, I love CJ, I drafted him, but this is what it is, and this is what it could be. I've liked what I've seen a lot. Long way being said, I'm with you in this. It is two games. I'm sure some people in the text line are telling us to calm down and we're morons, and yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, there'll be a bad one in there. There's no doubt. It'll happen.
But I have liked what I've seen. This is my favorite Damian Lillard. This is prime Lillard locking into a level that you just do not see very often from very many players. I love the comment on Bleacher Report a couple days ago. Tell me I'm not one of the best. You can't. It's backed up with facts. Yeah, I'm in. This is, again, why I think we have argued about the CJ thing. He's a great player in his own right.
Sure.
I think he would thrive in another situation. I also really want to see Dame without him, and we've had two games so far, and I've liked what I've seen.
Well, I think the part of it, too, is we've seen Dame take over and become a dominant player in the past. You know, I look no further than last season. I mean, they won 13 straight games, and everybody freaked out down the stretch, and it was largely because Damian Lillard played at a first-team All-NBA level. Like, he carried them to wins. But when I think back, and I can bring up the box scores because I can't remember off the top of my head. When I think back, though, it was mainly scoring. Like, it was him scoring 20 points in the fourth quarter, or him knocking down a game winner, or him getting hot in the second half and finding a way to lead him to victory. Like, it was him, you know, from a point standpoint, putting the team on their back and carrying them to wins. That, to me, has been the exciting part about this two-game stretch, is that he's done this and gone for 30-plus in each game. And against Indiana, he only attempted 16 shots. And against Dallas, he only attempted 18 shots. And it's been a balanced approach of him getting everybody involved. And we really haven't seen Dame have to do this without CJ, because CJ's been in the lineup so consistently. I mean, you look at the last 4 years since they tore this thing down and started to rebuild it, and the entire starting lineup left. I believe CJ's only missed, up until this point, four games. And two of them were for rest. One of them was the Clippers situation where they left him off the
roster,
lineup sheet or whatever. Right? So, I mean, CJ's always been there. So we haven't really had an opportunity to see how Dame could perform in a role like this. And that's the exciting part. And look, we'll see what happens in the offseason. But the way he is in charge of everything, in control of everything, trusting his teammates, despite them starting 0 of 10 from 3 the other night against Indiana, he still continued to feed him. He didn't force the issue, jacking up 30, 40 shots. Like, James Harden can put a team on his back, but it's going to take him 40 field goals to do it. And he's going to score 50 and go off, but it's not the kind of efficiency that we're used to seeing. Well, and that, to me, is the exciting part about Dame.
But, see, even if we're diving into this topic far too early, what is the response from people who are skeptical right now if they do it in their remaining games? Like, this is what Damian is. Let's say he's a 30 and 10 guy. That has to change your mind a little bit, right? That has to register of, boy, that looked different and that looked impressive.
Yeah.
And I think that's the larger thing, is I think the fans, you already have a certain percentage of your fan base that is in on the whole trade CJ stuff. Now, we don't have to dive into that topic too much. I know we're kind of doing it with this. But if this kind of play is what to expect with Dame without him, I don't know how you don't want more of it.
Yeah, and look, somebody texted in, so they beat the Mavs and Clippers, so they beat the Mavs and the Pacers. Said, yeah, we don't need CJ book a trip to the conference finals. Look, nobody's saying that. I'm still not going to pick them to win a first-round series. And nobody's saying that they don't need CJ. The argument has been, could you be better with a player that is not CJ in the starting lineup? As in, could you get somebody of equal value that brings something else to the table, and couldn't improve the team? And I think that has been the ultimate question around Portland now the last 4 years. Can two undersized guards who aren't great defensively coexist? And my issue with CJ has always been, one, defensively he's not there, and he hasn't improved the way that Dame has. And two, when he's not scoring, there's nothing that he really does to impact the team.
That's a fact. You can't argue that.
When he has those nights where he's 3 of 12 from the floor, there is nothing that he does, because the ball stops in his hands. He has a ton of games without any assists. That, to me, has been the argument. I think that's been the fun part to watch now the last two games. Look, they're going to have some down moments, I'm sure of it. But two games in, Dame's look really good without CJ, and the assist numbers are through the roof, and that's been a lot of fun to watch. He goes for 33 points and 12 assists last night. They beat Dallas 126-118. And remember, the schedule remains extremely easy for them moving forward. We got some NFL notes we need to get to, as somebody just signed. We'll get to that. A couple of guys we didn't get to the other day. Also, how about the Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb back and forth? We'll get to all that. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topics Topic in Sports, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. The heat is on.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Only $1 enrollment in the month of March. And you can enter to win for a trip to two to Las Vegas. Sprager went and fed his meter. He made it back in time. Well done.
Boom.
Well done. Look at that. Just in time. By the way, another NBA note. I don't know if you saw this earlier today before we get to some NFL stuff. We have some baseball things to get to in the final hour, and we'll keep you updated on the tournament throughout the show. Swags Plums as well. Did you see my boy, our boy, Jimmer Fredette's back in the NBA?
I did. The Phoenix has risen. I can't wait for him to go to the Suns and go drop 45 in a game and have everybody go, why was he out of the NBA nowadays?
I am all over this. He signed a two-year deal. I believe his second year is a team option. And if you don't remember, he's been playing in China now for the last three seasons.
He's dominating in China.
He had a 70-point game earlier this year.
Yes, he did.
He is averaging in the CBA, which is the Chinese Basketball Association. He's been playing for the Shanghai Sharks. He is averaging 36 points per game, shooting 47% from the floor.
You know, the thing with Jimmer is everybody wanted to make him a point guard, and I think the reality is he's not. You know, can he dribble? Sure. But he's an undersized, you know, he's a little CJ-ish in this way. CJ clearly the better player, so don't kid yourself with what I'm saying here. But CJ, are we 100% sure he's a point guard? I know he plays the two with Dame, but that's because Dame's there.
Right.
I don't know what CJ would be if he was a true starting point guard, whereas I think Jimmer clearly established that he's not a true starting point guard. So run him off some screens, get him out there. That dude could play 10 minutes a night in the NBA. There was no reason not to be in the NBA, especially with the way the game has evolved the last few seasons. The only thing that people forget is he was pretty bad at the end of his first stint there in the league.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll change.
But maybe it'll change. Maybe he's back. He's back. He's in Phoenix, signs a two-year deal. Jimmer Fredette back in the NBA. A big NFL note today. We brought this up a while back because going into the offseason, the Colts had more money to spend than anybody.
Yes, they did.
And we were waiting for them to, you know, spend their money. Well, today they signed Justin Houston to a two-year, $24 million contract. He, of course, of the Kansas City Chiefs. They parted ways with him after failing to find a trade partner because they're trying to save some money. That's the Chiefs are. So Justin Houston, still a productive player. He is just turned 30 years old. He's going to the Colts on a two-year deal.
I love this deal. I think this was a really smart move by Chris Ballard, and I think it continues to show why the Colts might be one of the teams to reckon with here, not only in the AFC but in the NFL. I mean, here's the other key part that doesn't get analyzed or broken down or talked about much. Andrew Luck is healthy, and he's got an offseason now of being healthy.
Yeah.
That's an important factor as well. I mean, we know what the Colts are without him. We saw what they were when he came back. It was a remarkable turnaround by them starting, what was it, 1-4 or 1-5 and making the playoffs. And sure, they burned me on the Chiefs game. I thought they could cover and that could be a good football game. But I think with the amount of money they still have left to spend, this was a really smart move by Chris Ballard. And now we get to see if they can shine in the draft. And I think that's where a guy like Chris Ballard really wants to prove it is, look what I can find in this NFL draft and look what I can establish around Andrew Luck, because he still has he's got some years left in the tank as in his prime quarterback. I like this move. I don't think Justin Houston is going to be the leading pass rusher and leader in sacks next year, but it's a really good veteran that you've brought into that locker room that knows how to win on a high level and can give you some really good production.
Well, and you mentioned the draft. Without the draft, the Colts aren't in the playoffs last year, so a big part of their success last season, no doubt. A couple of notes we didn't get to yesterday. I don't know if there's a better fit for player and team than Vontaze Burfict going to the Raiders.
Oh, man.
And this is now...
Your boy's smart, though, remember?
He is. He knows what he's doing, okay?
He's tricking everybody.
He knows what he's doing. This has now led to a conversation about can Antonio Brown and Vontaze Burfict coexist? Because if you remember back to the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh days, they didn't get along very well.
Did he knock him out? Was that who he knocked out in the game?
Yeah. And now they both came out. Antonio Brown came out, so there's no issue here. No issue.
It's just football, man.
I believe he blamed the NFL for for the feud escalating.
He
escalating.
Blamed the NFL?
He said it's the NFL's fault that this thing escalated between the two of us. So Vontaze Burfict is an Oakland Raider. That's just going to end well. Clay Matthews, is anybody ready to see him in a non-Packer jersey? Because he signed with Green Bay on a two-year deal.
No, the Rams.
Oh, Rams, excuse me. Yeah.
No, that's going to be weird.
That's going to be really weird, right? That's one of those that's going to take a while to adjust to.
I never will. Now, I know the Matthews name was in a Rams jersey once upon a time, but with Clay, we're so familiar with who Clay is and what he's been. Nothing is given in the NFL. I was just convinced he was one of those Packers for life guys, you know? He'd play another 2 years. His production had dropped, but he'd play another 2 years and then decide to hang him up and probably go get a cush TV job or just live his life as a rich millionaire athlete who's incredibly good-looking. And now he's coming to L.A. He'll offer something to those Rams. I think he's clearly a guy that wants to win. But, again, I think if you watch the Packers games, it felt like he had kind of hit a wall a little bit. Like
he was also getting he was getting 15-yard flags every time he breathed on a quarterback, too.
I know.
He had that going against him. So he's going to be in L.A. That's going to be weird. It's going to take a while, too. He was the one, by the way, that broke the news on that, too. He tweeted out the picture of him in an L.A. Rams uniform. That's one of those strange ones for me. Last NFL note we'll get to, and this has been speculated on for a long time now, and this is still not an official answer, but I figured I'd let the folks know anyways. So, of course, the Kaepernick and Eric Reid thing, they settled it with the NFL for an undisclosed amount of money. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that they will each receive less than $10 million, which flies in the face of people who said that they were getting 80, 100, you know, crazy.
Well, that's us.
Yeah, but yeah, it was us. And we thought, man, this must be a wild amount of money. So, again, I mean, this is all speculation, and they're just trying to read the tea leaves on this. So they don't know, and they don't have an official answer on what they got. But they are speculating, according to the Wall Street Journal, that it's less than $10 million total.
Look, here's the only problem with that. I really value the Wall Street Journal and what they are as a publication. Kaepernick will never confirm this. Reed will never confirm this. The NFL will never confirm this. And if somebody leaks it, then okay. But until then, we're going off hearsay, right? We're going off a source, maybe two sources. And maybe that's enough, but I think a little more evidence could be done to really truly prove how much they got. Look, even if they got $10 million, you got $10 million. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And not only did you get $10 million, your stance got you an endorsement with Nike, and you basically have your own brand of selling Kaepernick T-shirts that are selling out.
Right.
So, look, I'll gladly backtrack all my thoughts on that whole arrangement because we did think it was $60 to $80 million, and we obviously shared our opinions the day it happened, but if it is 10, all right, then the amount is much smaller than I thought. I'll be surprised. And you still got all the money that you got. You get $10 million in the endorsement. Like, you still end up winning on this whole thing. And by the way, you're not getting your brains beat in every Sunday.
Well, and Florio, keep an eye out on this, but Florio had a report saying that Kaepernick still wants to play in the NFL, and that's been, you know, rumored for a while now, and people thought maybe he's going to go to Miami. And if it doesn't happen, he doesn't get another job. He floated the notion of maybe him filing another lawsuit. So buckle up. This thing might not be going away.
He wants to do that again?
That's the Wall Street Journal report. We are live out at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill having a great time. Come by, say hello, and Isaac and Sook will be broadcasting after us. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month, no hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Don't forget that $1 enrollment in the month of March and a chance to enter for a trip to 4-2 to Las Vegas. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we got Swag's Plums at 2:15. We got some baseball notes to get to, and that's kind of where I want to start, with some contracts being handed out, some interesting notes out of those. The Ichiro Suzuki farewell, that happened last night or this morning, whatever the hell that was in Japan. We'll get to that, and we'll keep you up to date on the NCAA tournament. Day one of March Madness underway. We got some close games coming down to the wire, so stop by, say hello, and watch them with us this afternoon. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.